Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
504 DGS Think Tank with Mike Elam, Peter Meredith. Boy, so many, we're having such great discussions on the break here. I'm not sure where to go with it, but I'm going to go with what we talked about, Peter. And that is, I, as a civilian, have marveled at the cowardice of our Congress people, Republican and Democrat, because it's easy to talk about Trump and the stolen election and kiss the ring and stuff. But on the left, it's similar, you know, like if you're not for this, you're not progressive enough, whatever it is. What I marvel at is, I don't know how sweet it must be to be in Congress, but my Lord, I can't imagine selling my soul for it. Like, there are just so few people who step up and go, I know this is going to kill my career, but I'll go be a farmer or something. This is all BS, and I'm not going to go along with it. So few of them do it. It's like, is it just that great to be in Congress?
It must be like a drug that they get addicted to. And I can say, I think there's probably some of that on a local level or state legislative level, too. I mean, but there's also this desire, that this underlying drive that a lot of politicians have to get a specific thing done, something they believe in. And they're so afraid of losing their seat at the table to do that, that everything else can fall by the wayside. I see it all the time with folks I work with in Jeff City that'll tell me that they agree with X, Y, or Z that I just said on the floor, but they can't vote with me all the time because they know, well, I have to fall in line on this one. But they say it on 90% of the things they vote on, and it starts to be, well, what are you here for?
Yeah. Here's another thought I had. I can't think of another line of work, a serious line of work, other than politics, where rodeo clowns are rewarded. You wouldn't go to an accountant and have them be like, honk, and you're like, look, I don't know much about credits and debits, but I'm crazy. And you're like, that's my accountant. Like, no, you want someone who's sober and smart and professional and knows what a credit and a debit is, not someone who's just wonky and weird. But somehow now with politics, that's what we're attracted to. Like, I see these people not all the time. Yes.
Someone like me.
But like a Roy Blunt. Roy was not great copy. He wasn't a great interview. And he's going away. And,
yes.
And he and others will be replaced by much more animated circus freaks. And I just think that, oh, man, that's just the wrong way to go.
I think one of the things that you saw, especially for new people coming into D.C., is they saw what happened with the squad. It used to be when you were a freshman coming into, whether you were a senator or a congressperson, it didn't matter. When you were coming in, it was kind of, hey, once you figure out where the bathrooms are, then we'll start teaching you what you could do, and we'll eventually start rolling you out to do some interviews and things like that. And they saw AOC come out and just say crazy stuff, and all the media went, wow, check out that rodeo clown, to use your example. And they started putting her on camera. And then she got three friends to come join her. And they said, hey, watch what we do together. And it's one of those, you know, being from Arkansas, hey, if you thought that was crazy, hold my beer.
Well,
and we just took it to a whole new level. And you see it on both sides now. Both sides. I mean, Cori Bush took it to a whole new level of, hey, I saw what these crazies did.
Oh.
I'm going to sleep on the stairs at Congress, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to say, Steph,
I'm sorry,
but the Republicans
call them crazies over and over again. If crazy means they believe that we should have universal health care and make sure that folks are safe. I mean, and they're not.
No, crazies are the stuff that they say to get to that point, and things that they say that make absolutely no sense whatsoever.
I'm going to disagree with that. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yes, I would expect you to disagree. You're in their party.
Well, there are things. Yeah, but I mean, within my party, we've got a wide variety of beliefs about policy, right? And about a lot of the things they're talking about.
But can we agree that those five are the far, far left of your party?
Sure, sure. But that's different than calling them the crazies and making it a false equivalency. What they represent that I think you're pointing at that I think is totally fair is the ability to use social media and modern media to build a following and raise money and have influence even when you're new and inexperienced. I think
right.
There's no doubt they came in new, inexperienced. They aren't but they have more power than used to be normal for that.
They do. And Nancy Pelosi fears them in decisions that she's going to make. You never used to see a Speaker of the House cower or give in to freshman congressmen. You never saw that before. Yeah. They would destroy
them. And see, I would call it negotiating and compromising. And frankly, I think that's what we've always seen on the right, that they're caving to the far right on most policy issues right now. I mean, that's what I see happen in the Missouri legislature every day. The far right essentially holds hostage what I think would have been a majority of people that had some common sense and push for the most extreme because they threaten them losing in a primary. And now, since we're gerrymandered everywhere across the country in all these districts, everyone's more concerned about losing their primary, which means they have to cower to the further extreme of their party.
Oh, I completely agree with that. And it goes both sides.
Yeah, that does.
We have gone so far on both sides where because of how we've drawn districts now, your district is all about your party. And if you want to win, mm-hmm. you've got to cater to that base to win that primary.
Yeah.
And that's it. It doesn't really matter in your general anymore. You may have a general opponent, but it's like, okay, good for you.
Yeah.
So, with the majority of them.
I know that this is a cliche, but I've always, not always, but I certainly now tend to be socially liberal in that I don't care. I don't care. I have a life.
Let
I have
people live theirs.
Stuff. And I don't have the time. I have a hard enough time running my life. Why would I want to run yours? Why would I want that responsibility? Do what you're going to do. Love who you love. I don't care. Just go have a good life. But I'm also very fiscally conservative, not in my own life. I love to buy things, but the government. And here's my question. If there are fiscally conservative people on either side, I don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. It just seems like, oh, look, we're going to spend all your money.
Right.
It's just that we want to spend it on this and those guys want to spend it on that. I don't hear any loud voices going, what if we don't spend it? Is that just gone?
No, I agree with you. The biggest complaint that I have with Republicans is we just don't cut anything. The federal government just keeps growing and growing and growing. And some people would say the state government did the same thing. I mean, we're up to what, 48 billion?
49, with, yeah.
49 billion.
That's with federal dollars.
It's funny. Blaine Lucktemeyer was speaking at the O'Fallon Chamber 1 month, and he said, to show you how crazy things are in Washington, D.C., kind of to your point, we were having a discussion about an issue, and we were talking about money. And we had to stop and say, wait, are we talking about billions or are we talking about millions? And he said, only in Washington, D.C. do you have that discussion we went from talking about millions to talking about billions and we didn't even notice the difference. We're that crazy on spending right now. And that's kind of where it is.
To be clear, look, in Missouri, we're actually still lower on spending compared to what people make in Missouri than we were 30 years ago. That's why Hancock, even when we have this huge surplus this year,
right.
we're not triggering Hancock where we have to give money back to the people because we're still actually lower when adjusted for inflation in our overall spending.
But a lot of people would tell you that's a good thing.
Well, sure. And I'm saying that's fine. But the point is here, I think if you actually listen to state legislative hearings and whatnot, Democrats are talking a lot about fiscal responsibility and fiscal conservatism in the sense that we want to spend our money wisely, not on giveaways, on things that have a return or a positive impact on our society or economy. And we want to make sure that we have revenue that can pay for that. So, the problem is on the other side, it seems like they still want to do most of the spending, but they don't want to pay for it. And they just want to keep cutting taxes for the wealthiest folks.
One thing I find fascinating, and this will be ham-fisted, but I think you'll get it. So I grew up in a very Democrat union household. My dad was a union carpenter. They were very politically active. They were Democrats. Today, they would probably be conservatives because Democrats in the 60s were, you know, not like Democrats now.
Right.
But my point is this. I grew up with my dad being a union carpenter, climbing scaffolds all day, going to work after he threw up all night, complaining about Republicans who were rich, super educated fat cats.
Right.
Now it's kind of flipped.
It has.
The narrative has. That's, I don't think the facts have.
Okay.
The narrative has.
Okay, educate
Democrats
me on that.
Are better educated for sure. Overall, like higher educated folks tend to more likely be Democrats. But the billions of dollars going into politics, those are still going on the Republican side. I can certainly tell you in Missouri, I mean, it's a handful of billionaires that fund the Republican Party in Missouri.
I think you may cherry pick a few in Missouri, but I think overall across the country, the billionaires are all liberals. I mean, look at all your high dollar.
Is this a 2 + 2 = 4 thing from the beginning?
Oh no, go through your list of the top 50 wealthiest people in America. And look at the parties that they associate with. I mean, a Bill Gates, a Warren Buffett, a Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, down the list, all of these people are Democrat in everything they support. They're not Republican people.
If you look at billionaire contributions to politics, they are by far more on the right. And I can point easily to Missouri. I don't follow as much national politics since I'm a state legislator.
In Missouri, I'm not going to disagree with you, but national politics, I think it's completely different.
I think if you go state by state, you'll find that same thing. And that what they figured out a long time ago is their path is through state legislatures.
Yes.
That's how they create the big transformational change that they've done in this country into a more conservative narrative. And that's been billionaires that are running that. I mean, the Koch brothers on a national level make no let's not pretend that they aren't putting dramatically more money into our political system.
Well, there's only one of them now. But yes, I mean, the Koch brothers are that's the one billionaire that Democrats always point to. But I just laid out a list of others that you can go back to that are all supporting the Democrats.
No, you won't find those level of contributions from them to politicians.
You do find those levels of contributions all over the place. They give them to PACs all over. And the PAC money is all the money that controls all of these elections.
How true or untrue is it that overall Democrats are more educated, refined people, and Republicans are more country, less educated, blue collar people, which used to be the reverse. Is that a fair statement?
I think it is. I think what you've seen is the more sort of PhD class and above, all those folks, not all of them, the majority of those folks have gone Democrat because they've kind of grown up. If you look at what people on my side are going to call indoctrination clinics, we call them universities. And that's where a lot of these educated folks live and where they go. What was funny about Donald Trump is Donald Trump flipped the script.
That's accurate.
And Donald Trump he got rid of these wealthy elitist liberals. And he pulled in all of these folks like your dad.
Working class folks think that a billionaire from New York who lived in a gold-plated condominium in New York was suddenly the populist candidate, despite policies that over and over again hurt working class folks. I mean, Democrats continue to represent working class folks' interests, like, you know, taxing the rich and making sure we have well-funded schools, well-funded colleges, public parks, all of the health care, access to health care, all these things that actually matter more to working class folks. But Donald Trump and conservative media across the country has managed to flip it and make working class folks, especially rural, think that because of social issues, as you mentioned before, that the party of working class folks is the Republicans. When, in fact, if you're looking at economic interests, there's no question that Democrats represent the economic interests of working
class folks. Oh, I completely disagree with you on that. Surprisingly enough, as you didn't see that coming. Wow. Who knew, right? But I think the reason that you've seen union people especially go Republican, and in St. Charles County, obviously we're more Republican county, but I did a lot of door knocking for my primary election this year, and I ran into an awful lot of union Republicans. Mm-hmm. And talking to them, and
It's usually over social issues. But it's usually over things like LGBT issues and police issues.
So it's morality, crime, those type issues. You're right. I mean, when I was hearing you talk earlier, Dave, I was thinking about, you know, Jody Messina had that song of My Give a Damn's Busted. And there are an awful lot of people who are out there right now. I think you've got 25% conservative, 25% liberal, and 50% that are going, screw all you guys, I'm tired of it, right? And I think you saw it in this primary election, at least in St. Charles County. We had 21% that came out and voted in my primary election this year.
Yeah, the city, we had 6.5.
I mean, it's just people have said, pox on all your homes. I'm sick of all of you. You're talking about stuff that doesn't affect my life the way I think it is. I was hearing something earlier today that the Washington Post and ABC News did a poll that just came out. 21% of swing states are going Republican. Why are they going Republican? Because the party in charge takes the brunt of kitchen table issues. Most of these people don't care about all the social issue stuff that's going on. What they care about is how much are things at the grocery store, how much are things with my budget. I've got X amount of dollars to spend. I don't have all this other stuff.
Was that poll before or after Dobbs? Because I think there's no question
this
that there has
this
also
poll
been,
was announced today.
There's also been a swing since Dobbs dramatically by about 15 points across the country.
It's today.
My point
in
is,
swing states.
My point is that changes from day to day depending
on what issue
people are talking
about. It changes with Democrats on abortion is a big thing that got Democrats. Republicans, that's not going to get them go. That's going to get them go with crime. It's going to get them going with economy. Those are the things that are going to get them there. I don't expect you to agree with me, but I think it's what it is.
A lot of otherwise progressive voters to start voting because of Catholic faith or other faiths. To start voting Republican, even if they disagreed with Republicans on 90% of things, because they used that as a moral litmus test.
The number one problem that we have right now of what's driving people Republican more than anything else right now is we are not doing the number one thing that government has to do.
Keep you safe.
Keep you safe. If I don't feel safe, everything else goes
academic
to hell. Doesn't matter.
Well,
right?
When government
it doesn't
also starts
matter
telling you what you can do with your own body, I think that's going to motivate people to vote.
If I don't feel safe, all that other stuff, it's just talk.
All right, boys, got to go. Great hour.
Thank you very
Mike.
Much.
Thank
By
you,
the
Peter.
Way, can I say happy birthday
yes
to Reverend Leslie Elam? He is 90 years old today.
Happy birthday.
So happy birthday, Dad.
Fantastic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.